Welcome to National MI's Educational Sales Podcast Series, hosted by mortgage sales consultants Pat Sherlock and Bobby Welch. This podcast is brought to you by National MI University. We are committed to delivering quality education. Now let's get started.
Hello, everybody. Bobby Welch here. And of course, we have Pat Sherlock. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Bobby. Hello, everybody.
Well, today we get to talk about the pathway to purchase business, which purchase business, that's my favorite business. I mean, making a lot of money during refi booms, that's really awesome. But I have to say the most fun I've had in my career are during purchase times when this is where our area of focus is. And so the fun factor is high. So I'm glad we get to talk about this today.
Well, I can't agree more. I mean, our business was traditionally purchase money, but as we all know, the last 10 years, it's been refinancing. And as a result, I think a lot of times the basics in the purchase money business are really not thought about, don't you think?
Yeah, it's surprising. In my coaching, I regularly talk to people who, you know, I'll look them up on LinkedIn and I'll look at their past and they're like, you know, 7-year veterans. And then our coaching call, our first coaching call will start off with, yeah, I need to transition into purchase business. And I'm like, wow, like 7 years in the business and we're transitioning to purchase. Like, well, that just screams a lot about what we've seen, especially since 08. But the purchase business is a lot of fun. And when done right, it's very lucrative and there's a lot more consistency to it. And I feel it definitely is the long game. So why don't we dig in? I mean, what is the pathway to the purchase business?
Well, I think it's an interesting thing that you've said, because I experience it myself all the time, every day, in fact, where the purchase money business, which is fundamentally a relationship component of our business, more so than on the refinancing side, had been historically the core part. But now that we have finally moved back into our core business effort, I do think that being successful in purchase money going forward is something crucial for any originator that's listening to our podcast today, because this is the business. And what's interesting about it, in 2016, when you look at the transactions, real estate transactions that were done, 89% of them, almost 90% of all real estate transactions last year involved a realtor, which is kind of the core part of a purchase money business. So all this technology and Zillow and all these technologies around, the real estate agent is still a core component of being successful in purchase money.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I bump into that all the time. In fact, I even had a loan officer on one of my coaching calls here maybe a month ago just go off on how he didn't like realtors. And of course, you're like in the wrong business at the wrong time if that's your thing. And I think buying leads, Zillow leads, I think if you are somebody who's been fortunate enough to build, you know, 500, 750, you know, past clients, you can certainly farm past clients and get quite a few purchase leads off of that. But you have to be in the business a long, long time for your ability to say, I'm going to go it alone without realtors if you want to do large numbers in purchase. And if it were any different, then Quicken and everybody would just gobble it up overnight. And that's one delusion that a loan officer has to get over if they're going to be successful in this market, is that social media, buying leads, all of these other things, they're great, but they're, in my opinion, they are add-ons after you've got 15 or more solid, good realtors referring you consistent levels of business. Then you add those things on.
Well, I agree with you 100% with that. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't have some other strategies. I mean, certainly there are people that do financial planners. There's people that focus on builders. There's people that focus on a whole slew of different type of opportunities. But when you look at the actual facts, and almost 90% of real estate transactions, somehow a realtor is involved, that is saying that, similar to what you're making the point about, is that that has to be part of your core business model. And what's interesting about that number is that number was published by the National Association of Realtors. They track this information. 2016 was the highest percentage ever in their history of tracking it, of what percentage of the transactions had a realtor involved with it, which I think with all these fancy dancy type of other softwares and so forth, you kind of think to yourself, well, their importance is it would be going down, but that's not really what the data shows. And I think, Bobby, you make a great point that the hub of purchase business really is having those core realtor connections. And I think that, you know, these other strategies certainly can help you, but you need to have, and I would argue that you should have somewhere around 20 realtors giving you business on a frequent basis, which unfortunately what I see out in the real world is many originators do not have anywhere near that. And as a result, I think they're going to have a struggle in their production numbers.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. So if realtors are the core, it's not exclusively a realtor game, but if they're the core, what's the pathway there?
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, again, similar to so many other things in mortgage banking, prospecting for realtors have to be a core part of what the originator is doing every day. Because similar to if you're recruiting or whatever other activity that you're doing, the point is that results will only change if you are consistently having as part of your day, reaching out and forming new relationships. So step one is prospecting and putting that as part of your day and obviously having a plan together of what matches to your strength and your lender's strength. So I think first step is recognizing that these relationships will not be built unless you have it as a consistent reach out that you are doing on a frequent basis to potential realtors that match up to your profile.
Yep. I'll tell you, before we get too far into it, because I'll forget. You know, prospecting, nothing happens without enough prospecting activity. Right. And I think you and I have had conversations before on this is the skill on your assessments, for example, when lenders test their people, which is always a good idea. It's one of the skills that's always tests lower than one would think, even with seasoned folks on that knowledge section of your assessment, which is very, very good. But it's also the activity level on which there's nowhere near the enough amount of time spent on it. So it is definitely the foundation of everything. But before we dig into that any deeper, there's a point that I think it would help if everybody kind of keeps it in mind right up front. And that is that we have to understand the overall sales process from a high level and what the goal of each process, each pieces of that process really are, because that's where a lot of folks, even if they put in the prospecting time, that's where they break down when I'm coaching them. So here it is. When you're marketing and you're prospecting for new agents, there's only one goal in mind during that phase of your sales process and one goal only, and that's to set appointments. That's it. At that stage, you are not trying to get loans and to be aimed at anything else. And by the way, it's not branding. It's not getting the word out. It's not any of those things that you can buy a million books and they could tell you to spend a lot of time doing it. It's getting appointments. And the success of your prospecting needs to be measured by the number of appointments that your marketing and your prospecting is generating, period. Every activity, every mixer you go to, every flyer you send, every open house you visit, every phone call you make, aimed at securing appointments. Then once you go on the appointment, you'll go for a commitment to do business. You will do that, but you have to realize that at the end of that appointment, even if it goes really, really well, all that step is done. That face-to-face appointment is secured you the right to stay in touch. That's it. You may get a loan here and there right off the bat. And if you're doing enough prospecting, it should happen fairly regularly, but you can't confuse that quick opportunity for the long game, which is all you've earned is the right to stay in touch. And it's the final step, that staying in touch, that nurturing and building the relationship over a period of time that can take months. That's what earns you a shot at a loan.
Well,
what will happen is that somebody trips up and expects too much at one of these steps, and then they throw their hands in the air because it doesn't work and realtors don't like them and their company is X, Y, you know, there's a million reasons they'll throw in there. But really what it is they didn't understand the process.
Right. Well, I agree completely with all that you're saying. And I think so often you're exactly right. Sending emails out in other words, texting, maybe social media. I think a lot of times originators have been lulled into the idea that that is prospecting. I mean, that's a function of really marketing, but the whole point of this prospecting process is not really selling, but it's really more along the lines of earning that right to keep in contact with the potential realtor that is now going to be giving you customers. And I think so often, because obviously it's a series of steps that the good originators put into a regular process, which is what all originators should do, that these contact points have to be done on a consistent basis. So the key pathway to purchase business, developing the relationship with the realtor, is really based upon your reach out on a consistent basis to those that match to what is your model, and that would be your ideal referral source of whatever that is. And I think when you have only two or three referral sources, which I often see with originators, you have got to be spending a large part of your week doing these activities that, Bobby, you've already talked about.
Yep. Yeah. Does it make sense to drive a little bit deeper in prospecting as far as maybe some best practices and maybe some pitfalls to avoid, but also best practices to make sure are in your prospecting? You already mentioned the daily consistency. I think that's number one. That's important.
Right. Yeah, I think it's a great point. And I think a couple points that I would make is that, and your good originators really do know this, is that certainly you can spend your day driving from realtor to realtor to realtor without any plan, without any focus. Or you can really be more, I think, targeted in what is this plan that you're going to execute off of? Who do I currently deal with that can introduce me to others? I mean, there's many different ways to work the individual realtor prospecting. And then, of course, there are group efforts where it puts the originator in the role of either speaking at a realtor conference or having a webinar. In other words, both of these processes need to be all part of your tools. And I think the reality is that they're not going to know you unless you're out there.
I think what you're alluding to is inside prospecting, there's a handful of different activities. There is the creating warm leads, spending time so that when you call on a realtor, they know you. And you've mentioned a couple of excellent ways to make sure you've got a fresh supply of warm leads. And who you know your network, number one, number two, and I'll tell you who I think number one is in just a minute. If you're a seasoned originator, there's a different number one. But number two for most of us is going to be that warm market because everybody knows a realtor. Everybody. In fact, everybody knows a couple.
Right.
So one of my best agents, I always tell the story when I'm coaching people on this, one of my best agents came because 3 years into becoming a loan officer, I finally thought to ask my dad about who he knew in real estate. 3 years. And was introduced to Ed, and Ed became one of my best agents. Why did it take me 3 years to ask dad for a referral? So that network is fantastic. The webinars and all the things that we know to do, social media, the lunch and learns, all of those things I would put inside the value add / expert, creating an expert status in your market so that your name gets out there in a value added way. So then people have heard of you. So when you call on them, you're warm. And that's always good. So that warming the market. And then number one, so I don't leave that thread hanging there, is listing agents. I mean, holy cow. We all know we should be marketing our listing agents. I'll talk to top producers who that's one of their weakest spots, even at the numbers they're generating. And it's really simple. It's just a 5 or 6 step process. But I can grow somebody's business 25, 30% a year just by doing listing agents. And the reason why I consider that number one, if you're doing any kind of volume at all, is that there's a period of about 4 weeks where they have to take your call. And if you do that correctly, if you do that in the right way, then at the end of that fourth call, it's so easy to go ahead and get a face-to-face appointment and stay in touch after that.
Well, they're great points. And I do think that they are kind of the building blocks for purchase business. And too often, they're really skipped or not thought of. I mean, certainly, again, there's other opportunities to work former customers. I mean, certainly the builder relationships. I mean, there's a litany of other strategies, but they still fall into a consistent reach out that is basically bringing value to them and bringing value to yourself. Do you think it's time to really talk about kind of what is your targeted realtor? I mean, not every realtor is going to be your target.
Yeah, absolutely. That sure makes the face-to-face meetings a lot easier because the, you know, inside the face-to-face meeting, that's my number one goal is just to determine how good the potential fit is.
Right.
You know, I can tell you the way I look at it, and then I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. And, you know, I'm looking at it from the very basic sense of, are they doing enough business to make it worth my investment? Now, I know immediately someone on the call or somebody listening is going to be like, well, what about new agents? Because there's a lot of activity around supporting new agents. I think that's great. But you just have to limit the number of new agents that you're working on. Because I've only met one guy in my whole life who was just amazing at identifying which of those new agents were going to be tomorrow's superstars. And that's it. And the rest of us, we have a hard time doing that. So yes, spend some time with new agents, but for heaven's sake, limit that activity a little bit and then try to do it in groups. But at the end of the day, if I'm going to invest a lot of activity and time in that person, I want them to be at least doing, you know, at least capable of sending me 4 transactions that I can fund a year minimum or more. Then I take a look at how I feel like I can service their client. So I'll spend time, I'll make sure I understand what's the typical client that they do business with, what are their financing needs, what are common obstacles and issues that pop up over and over again inside their transactions, because that gives me a feel for what servicing their clients in a very great way is going to be. And then the last thing that I'm always evaluating is, where's that realtor at in their business? Mm-hmm. And can I add value based on where they're at in their business? Because a senior agent who is running a large team and doing a ton of loans has a very different set of criteria for what they expect out of their lending partner than maybe somebody only doing, you know, 4 to 6 transactions a year, buy side transactions, and the type of support and the opportunity I have to add value is very different. And if I feel confident in all 3 of those, then I feel like it's a good fit.
Well, I think you made all great points, and we're down to the last few minutes today on this such crucial topic. If we had to kind of summarize our takeaways, what would be your thoughts?
Yeah, so know the measurement of success for each of your realtor building activities. So, you know, understand what your calls are for and how you're going to measure success, appointments. Understand what the outcomes from your face-to-face meetings should be. And track it and then be patient. Know that it's a sales pipeline and it takes some time to fill. But if you're being successful with your measurements along the way, within some period of time, you know, 60 days, 90 days, 120 days, the applications and the pre-quals, all of that will show up. That would be number one, engage in the right activity and have the right outcomes expected. And then my last takeaway would be to really up the level of your activity in engaging and nurturing and converting your realtors to active real estate agents. Loan officers always underestimate the number of agents that need to be prospecting, and they always underestimate the number of active agents they need to have a good, strong purchase business. Those numbers are always too small when you first talk to a loan officer.
Well, yeah, I would like to kind of add a little bit more of, I agree with you 100% on that. I would like to add that in my experience, and this is being out in the field, sitting with sales teams and doing this really on a regular basis, that in my view, you need to have 20 referral sources. And when you look at the better originators at companies, that's certainly who they get business from on a frequent basis. I do think, and I couldn't emphasize more, that many originators think that if they move it up to 5 or 6, they're all going to be on Easy Street. And that's really not the case. Not today, because one of the changes that have happened over the years when refinancing was so strong that referral sources, real estate agents, are not going to be willing to give you 100% of their business. So, and likewise, you wouldn't do it either because they didn't see the alignment. So I will say that, again, originators underestimate the number they need. And that number, from my viewpoint, should be somewhere around 20 realtors. And that takes a lot of time during the week to ensure that you get that number. So, and it's not something that can be done every once in a while. Any other thoughts?
No, I think this is great. I think it's a kind of a, we've left them with a lot and probably a good place to stop.
I agree.
Great topic. I mean, it's an important one.
Yeah, we'll have to do some more on the real estate agents because it is a common issue that we do see. Well, I want to thank everybody for joining us today and certainly look forward for you listening to our next podcast.
Sounds good. Thanks, Pat. Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. If you have a topic to suggest, please tell your National MI account manager, and you may soon see it as part of our sales podcast series.